Oh, I'm sorry. Yep, Psalm 119, verse 27. I mean, Psalm 119, verse 127. Y'all need to help me. Man, oh man, oh man, help me. I didn't see a brother struggling. Psalm 119, verse 127. There you go. There you go. Thank you for your patience. Verse 127 says, therefore I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, as a result, therefore means as a result of that, I consider all your precepts, which is another synonym for the word of God, to be right. I consider all of it to be right. And therefore, I hate every false way. If you consider all of God's word to be right, then you'll know what the false way is, because you'll compare it to the word that you're knowing and say, hey, I hate that and I love this. But if you don't know the word of God, you don't know what ways are false. Therefore, you can't hate, and that's a strong word, and it's on purpose. Hate, not just kind of dislike. And no, I hate every false way. Why? Because it is not the word of God. It is opposed to the word of God. That's why when we come, when you all come to me with, especially our ethnic and black, you know, cultural situations, and I give you that word, you struggle with that. He says, I consider all your precepts to be right. You got to consider. You're under, when I give you the word versus your thoughts, you are under obligation to consider at that moment. Hold on. He did give me the word. He did give me the word. Now, I may not like it, but at this point, there's no need to keep talking in opposition to that, because there's no yeah but after the word. The word settles everything, because that's God's word. All scripture is profitable and God breathe out the mouth and heart breath of God. God's breath is all over the entire word from Genesis to Revelation, and that is that it is that word that is forever settled in heaven. It will not pass away. It is as eternal as God is eternal. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Think about that. The word of God is as eternal as God is eternal. Just say la. Pause and calmly think about that. You just don't have anything on your phones or in your lap. That's the eternal, ever living, and it is just as alive as God is alive. Amen. It is just as powerful as God is powerful, because God and his word are one. Help us to get this, Father. So when I give you the word and not an opinion, you are under obligation to consider it. Okay, he gave it to me now. It completely goes against what I've been taught by the world all these years. So at that point, I've done my discharge, my duties as your pastor. And now you must do your duty as a recipient of the word of God and consider it to be right. This is what it says. I consider all your precepts to be right. I'm just not just considering it. It's right, because it comes from God and not Greg. It comes from God and not Greg. When the pastor starts talking about, well, you know, my opinion, let you know, your opinion and my opinion, you can be just as right as mine. Your philosophy, your theology, your ideology versus mine, then we like, well, you believe what you believe, and I'm gonna believe what I believe. The word of God comes in and settles all of that. Folks had all kind of ideas. We've been taught all kind of things. The world has greatly damaged us, mightily. That's why the verse 2 of Romans 12 is so needed. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. True transformation takes place when the mind is renewed. Renewed means to be renovated. You got to tear all that nasty, mildewy, moldy 2x4s out of our minds with those rusty nails that are about 5 miles long. But the claw hammer of the Holy Ghost and the power of God's word can remove all that junk. And we can now think like God. We can develop a biblical worldview rather than a secular worldview. We got work to do, saints of God. This is not going to happen just automatically. You just sauntering through life. You got to put down, make a deliberate, on purpose, intentional effort. I mean, you got to press the off button in front of the TV. You got to press the little X on the window of the webpage and get into the Word. Just like you get into the TV and you get into the internet and social media, you got to get into the Word. Some of you would be theological giants if you gave the Word the same attention that you gave social media. You have to say lie that one. Let that one hang for a minute. Theological giants. We waste a lot of time. We really do. The Lord God gives us 24 hours in every day. How many hours in that day are just wasted doing insignificant things? And then we want the results of the eating the word, but you're not eating. How in the world is that? How you gonna get full off the word and you never eat? And then you're mad when you walk up, man, I'm hungry. What's wrong? You ain't ate. Or the other part, folks look at our marriage and it is a great marriage, the greatest of all time, for sure. Rolanda has a new title. She's the GOAT of wives. The greatest of all time of wives, and she certainly is. She holds that title in two classifications. She's the GOAT of mothers and the GOAT of wives. But you don't become that by just twiddling your thumbs and sticking on social media, watching TV 100 hours a day, and just letting the world dump, using your mind as a dumpster, just like a receptacle. Anything the world says, we just agree with it for the most part. Or we are our own judge. In other words, we determine, oh, I don't like that. Oh, I like that. We're not letting the word of God be the common denominator, the final arbiter of what's right and what's wrong. We are. That's the problem. Because what you may deem and accept as right may not be what the word of God says is right. That's how Christians got caught up in believing that abortion is not murder, or that it's okay, even that if it is, but that it's okay. When he tells us in Jeremiah, he said, before you were even born, I knew you. That means God counts the unborn as a pure, already person. He said, before you were born, I knew you. I called you already before you were born as a prophet to the nations. That's what the word says, that we are supposed to consider that all of the word is right. If I don't give you word, I'm not worth two dead flies to you. Period. And I'd like to think when you come to me, you're coming to get the word. What thus saith the Lord, Pastor, concerning this or that? That's what it ought to be. We're not just having discussions for discussion's sake, per se. Help us to value your word, Father. Look at verse 165. Look at verse 165. You see it? Let me know what mom got. Let me know what she got. Yeah, take your time. We in the same chapter. It's 165. Yep, same chapter. Yep. I want to make sure everybody see this. She good? Okay, thank you. Great peace. I'm just going to let that hang right there. Have as a present possession those who love your law, semicolon. Nothing can make them stumble. Hold on. You want great peace.
Yes, Lord.
But we're not into the word. It clearly tells us if you want great peace, then you got to love the word of God. And loving it doesn't mean admiring it and being emotional about it. It's hearing it, understanding it, studying it, meditating it, and doing it. It's all five of those.
Emotional, yes, sir.
And until all five happen, you haven't eaten. You just sniff or you chew it and spit it back out. Digestion never took place. Digestion, again, for my biology students, again, is ingesting is to take the word in, or food in, rather. Then there's a swallowing and it hits the stomach. You just ingested food. Digestion has not yet taken place. Ingestion must come before digestion. So you take the food, put it in your mouth, mix it with saliva, swallow it, boom, lands in the stomach. Now, the moment it lands in the stomach, then the hydrochloric acid that lines the stomach then begins to break the food down. So that the nutrients in that food that you ingested, swallowed, and landing in the lining of the stomach can now be absorbed into the body. Only when digestion takes place has the food benefited you. Is that not right?
Amen.
Not just chewing, not just swallowing. It's when the hydrochloric acid breaks that food down and allowing the nutrients in that food to be absorbed throughout the body, does the food benefit you? You've got to understand that.
Amen.
It's not just reading the word, not just hearing the word. It's hearing it and studying it and meditating it and understanding it and doing it. There must be doing at the end, because that's where true transformation takes place. Then the word has been digested into your spirit, man. I hope you're looking at your life right now and doing an inventory saying, well, you know what? I know that's not going on. I know that's not going on. No wonder I think the same way, like I'm unchanged. No wonder I'm still acting the same. No wonder I'm still having the same kind of thoughts. Lord God, read our mail today in Jesus' name. Expose us to ourselves. Because a lot of us are self-deceived. We've been fooled into thinking, hey, I'm good.
Yes, sir.
Some of you ought to be spiritual giants. What do you mean? You've been here long enough where this ought to be a habit by now.
Amen.
And there is that expectation. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews was saying, are you serious? I got to teach you this again? You ought to be a teacher by now. But instead, you have need that somebody teach you again the basic principles of the gospel. Well, what does that tell us? That there's an expectation that you grow in grace and in the knowledge. You're to grow in that knowledge. Then there ought to come a time where you can teach somebody else. There come a time that you can apologize. Apologia in the Greek meaning to defend what you believe. But you can't defend anything if you don't know anything and understand anything. So let's talk about receiving. I have, but I'm going to just go over it just again and again and again. Getting the word means to receive it and endorse it. I'm going to put all this up here because I want you all to see this. Getting the word hopefully it'll come up there in a minute. Getting the word means receiving, accepting, to consent to agree with, to approve of, and to endorse. So the word receive means to accept, consent to agree with, to approve of, and to endorse the word. So that's not a light word. That's not a light word. Okay, so until this started working right, we'll just go over that again. Getting the word again means to receive, accept, consent to, agree with, to approve of, to endorse the word. Sometimes we have to understand that when we use words that we tend to kind of just go by them. What does receive mean? Well, it means to endorse it. Not just, well, I received that. Really, that means you endorse it, you approve of it, you consent to it, you agree with it, and you endorse it. You ought to, because it's the word of God. You just ought to. So it means to get the word, endorse it, and approve of it. The word as being the absolute truth above all else. Means receiving the word, accepting and consenting to it as being the absolute truth above all else. The word of God is the absolute truth above all else. And by the way, there's only one truth. The world will tell you there's your truth and then there's only one truth. And thank God it is. And I'm so glad that I know what that truth is. That I don't have to be confused by the lies that the devil is speaking, selling us as truth. Yes, sir. Homosexuality is a sin. I don't care what the world says. Marriage between a man and a man is a sin and an abomination, the word of God says, before God. Murder of any kind is a sin before God. Why? Because a person's life has been taken who was made in the image and likeness of God. So when you kill anyone, murder that is, then that is an affront to God and his image that he's placed on that particular life. See, God counts every life as valuable because he stamped his image on that life. Does that make sense? That's what the world doesn't understand. Life is so valuable because God's image is on that life. When he tells us in Genesis 9 and 6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And he said, because man was made in the image and likeness of God, he gives the reason why you must take that person's life when they take a life. It is such an affront to God and his image. He said, you got to take that person's life. Whoever sheds man's blood. I don't care if the murder makes sense or don't make sense. Whether it does make sense or doesn't make sense. If it's murder in the eyes of God, he said that person's life is to be taken. Remember, you count all his ways to be right. Now, I know it's hard when you tell that abortion is murder, even in the case of rape and incest. You say, oh, man, come on, give him a break there. I mean, the girl didn't, you know. Yeah, but you're missing the point, though. We're so humanly directed. That's human secularism. We look at the human as the center of that situation. It's terrible that the young girl was raped. It's terrible. Or that she was raped even by her father. And the baby comes. But you have to remember, who gives life? Remember, just cohabitating doesn't bring about the baby. It's that and God causing the egg to be fertilized. That's why we miss it. God, for whatever reason, and yes, we said, why would God? Okay, that's a whole different thing. I can't get into God's mind. For whatever reason, in his infinite wisdom, he's way wiser than me, much wiser than me. He chose, for whatever reason that we don't understand, to give life in that rape or in that incest. That's what you have to, got to flip your mind to that. Well, if God did it, then it's a good thing. Coming out of a bad thing. It's evil. Please, let me make that crystal clear. Rape and incest is evil, wicked, and vile, and ungodly and unholy. But if for whatever reason God chooses to cause that egg to be fertilized in those shockingly vile and incredibly evil acts, you got to bow down to God. That's his will. You can't go up in there and play God. We need to let God be God. And he God whether we let him or not. But you know what I'm saying. In your life, in your thinking is the point I'm making. In your life and in your thinking, in your heart, bow down to his will. Even in that case. And count all his precepts to be right. Over and above your strong desires and your real strong philosophy and thinking. I count God's word and strong emotion. I count God's word to be right above all of that. So to meditate is accept and receive the word and approve it. The word is being above all else absolute truth. You must receive the word. I have here, you can't get the word without receiving it. You may hear it, I call it sniffing. You know, some people sniff food and how many of you sniff food and then feel like you've eaten? No. You don't walk around and say, man, okay, I'm good. Let's go home now. Well, that's what when you walk in the word and you hear the word and walk back out and you don't, nothing happens beyond that, no study, no meditation, nothing to start just to get into. You just sniffed food. And you wonder why you don't have peace, let alone great peace. Yeah, you haven't eaten. That's why you're not full. That's why you're still starving. Ways of getting the word. Man, Lord, please fix this thing. I don't know why this thing ain't working. I want y'all to see this. But I'll read it to you and then I'll try to maybe reopen this. I don't know. Ways of getting the word. Reading. And you can write these down if you so desire. If I'll close this one out too. Hold on 1 second. Bear with me. Okay, well, that's so reading is one, comma, studying. Meditating and listening to the word. On a continual basis. Reading, studying, meditating and listening to the word on a continual basis. And you do all of that, read, study, meditate, listen. And I left out, well, we'll get to that one too. On a continual basis, that has got to be intention, all of that. There's got to be intention to your reading, studying, meditating, listening. You do that with the intent to learn from the Word of God and obey the Word of God. So you're reading, studying, meditating, and listening to the word on a continual basis with the intent to learn from the word of God and to obey the word of God. Okay, so your intent is to learn from the word of God and to obey the word of God. Now I want to explain that. Break that one down. Meaning, its truths of the word of God become your truths. Its truth becomes your truth. The truth of God's word that renews and renovates the mind. Truth that completely shapes our worldview, meaning our thoughts, our ideas, our philosophy, our theology is all dominated by the truth of God's word. Then you're lining up yourself to actually receive the word of God. Read that again. Get the word through reading, studying, meditating, and listening. Reading the word, studying the word, meditating the word, and listening to the word. I prefer that you listen to expository sermons of the sort. You can read books that are expository in nature that explain things. Yeah, you got this because you got to get understanding. We'll get that in a hot second. So you can read it, you can meditate it, you can study it, you can listen to it in various ways. There's all kinds of things out there to get the word. And you do that all the time. You know, the advent of wireless AirPods and things of that nature, you can stick some in one ear, still be hearing the word in the other ear. And you just have the word going on in this other ear, in one ear, just going on all the time. If you're able, everybody can't do that. But your intent to doing all of that is to learn from the Word of God. You're here to learn, not just to check off a box. Well, I got my word for the day. Yeah, you boxed in and made it a task. You've made it a No, it's a, what's that, like a duty, like a duty. Yeah, just like a duty. Like I got to do this, okay. Done, next. Now realize, no, this is life changing. I want great peace. So let me, then this is what I got to do. And you can't fake loving God's word. Because the peace of God will not flow in your life with a fake love for God's word. He said, great peace have they who love your law. You want great peace? Dive headfirst into the word of God. You know, the world wants peace. The whole world wants peace. They just want it their way. The world wants what God is going to do. They just want it their way. Yeah, God bless America, but bump you though. Just bless me, but I ain't finna. No, don't ask me to do nothing for you. Give up what? Stop doing what? Start what? Man, please. Just bless me and keep it moving. Treat him as a cosmic Santa Claus. We seek his hand and not his face. His hand, where I can get from him, what he can give me, but not his face, who he really is. I don't want to know you. I just want to get from you. Wow. You're prostituting God. Wow. Treating him like a common streetwalker. Only what I can get from him. Here go a couple of dollars. Out of business. Move on. I ain't trying to know you. Wow. That's how God is treated, by his own people. And if pastors don't call him out on it, you think you're good. And that's okay to treat God that way.
Hello.
But you wonder why your life is such a mess. That's what I was going to say many moons ago about the greatest of all time. I got distracted on the great wife and the great mother of all time. Oh, I did say, yeah, our marriage is a great marriage, greatest of all time. But there is a reason for that. That's the point I'm trying to make many moons ago. We live the word. It is our truth. It is our foundational truth. We have great peace because we love his law. I hate when people say, well, that's just y'all. As if nobody else can have that kind of marriage. That's the devil's lie to get you to not to do anything to bring it to pass. That's what that is. To try to just, but that's them. We can't have no marriage like them. Let me just have my raggedy marriage, best we can get here. He's a liar, and he's a deceiver. But the only way you'll even know that that's a lie is by knowing the truth of God's word. Notice it says, oh, how I love your law, comma, therefore, remember therefore, whenever you see therefore, stop and see what therefore is there for. What is it there for? To look back. So what did you just read? Oh, how I love your law, comma. Therefore, as a result of me loving your law, I hate every false way. I got to love your law first to hate the false way. Some of us are loving the false way. Because we don't love his law. We don't know that this way is false. This way of thinking, this line of thinking is false. So it's reading, studying, meditating, listening to the word on a continual basis with the intent to learn from the word of God and to obey the word of God. You ought to let its truths become your truths. Let that truth renovate your mind. Let that truth shape you. Let it transform you. And let your ideas and let your ideologies and let your theology and philosophy become dominated by the word of God. Amen. You want to be like this sponge that's full of water, dripping water, just full of water. And the slightest pressure on that sponge, what's coming out? Water. We want to be so full of the word that with the slightest pressure from troubles and challenges outside, out comes the word. The slightest squeeze. It takes work to become that inundated and flooded with the word of God in our heart and minds. That takes effort, energy, study, careful attention. Whenever we receive the word, we get ready to close. Whenever we receive the word, the reception of that word is to always be accompanied with the intent to understand it. I'm going to say that again. Whenever we are receiving the word, the reception of that word is to always be accompanied with the intent to understand it. The intent to understand. I got to understand this. That's why I'm not a big, big fan of just straight Bible reading. Because how much are you understanding when you read, just read through the Bible? I know people tell you that for years and years, read through the Bible, but I'd rather for you to study. I'd rather for you to take one verse and understand that one verse before you move to the next verse. Or take a word. For example, well, many Christians still don't understand what love is. I'm talking about God's love, biblical love, which is different from the world's love. Just take the one word, love, and just study that. Biblical love is action, not emotions and not feeling. It's action. It's action based on intent, purpose, deliberation. It's love based on a choice. I choose to do right by you so that your highest good can be obtained, and I'll sacrifice to bring it to pass. That's love. Where the object of that love, you value it more than even your own self. It's a love that's selfless, not selfish. Human love, that's called love, really isn't love at all, but that's called that, is selfish. It's centered in selfishness. Even when you tell, let's say a young man tells a young lady, you look so pretty, you look so good, you just look, what are they really saying? Your looks please me. And we don't stop to think about that. We think we're complimenting them, but don't mean you're saying that because they please you. They make you feel good. Even that is rooted in selfishness. Think about it. You look so good. You're so smart. That pleases me. So I'm going to holler at you. That's why marriages fail. They don't realize that the root of it is selfishness. I remember we were listening to biblical love, biblical marriage, and how it should be. We were year one of our marriage and coming home from church, and preacher had given us the marriage here. We popped it in, and we were driving from a Word of Faith on Nevada and Van Dyke. And so it's like a 40-minute ride home, 45 minutes, something like that. And we popped it in. I remember we were on 94 heading west, and I'm like, yep, we got married for the wrong reason there. Yep, we did that wrong. Wow, we just did everything wrong. Because as a word, which I counted to be right, I considered all the word to be right, then I recognized I hadn't been taught. But I thank God I was willing to fix anything that needed to be fixed. I'm going to go get the word, and I'm going to find out how I'm supposed to love this queen of mine, this child of God that he's loaned to me, that he's going to call back home to him. And when she goes back to him, she better be in better shape than when he first gave it to her. I got to go get that knowledge. Like, whoa, man, for the wrong reason. Yep, that's wrong. Yep, did that wrong. Oh, okay, that's wrong too. Wow, did I do anything right? It's humbling. The word of God humbles you. You know, because you're like, wow, I'm way off. Because I'm going by what I was taught out here. Nobody was teaching me the word. Once I got the word, I'm like, wow, there's a whole lot of adjustments I got to make. And that husband being that leader, got to make those adjustments. You get in that word, and you make those adjustments. If you're counting all the word to be right, that's key. There's got to be respect and honor for the word, which only comes from respect and honor from God. You don't honor God, you can't honor his word. You don't honor God, you can't honor his word. Because you can't honor the one who's the source of the word. If you don't honor God, who's the source of the word, you can't bypass him and then honor his word. Part of us not knowing the word and not understanding the word and not valuing and esteeming and treasuring and delighting in the word is because we aren't valuing, treasuring, and esteeming God. We don't know God. This is important right here. Some folks, I hope, got an explanation of why maybe they're struggling in the situation they're struggling in. You know what? I still don't know God. And if you don't know God, you can't know His Word. You can't know His Word. The Word of God is a self-revelation of God Himself. There is no other book on the planet that can tell you who God is and how He operates. His majesty, His glory, His person, His character is only in that thing on your phone or in your lap. Only the Word of God. No encyclopedias, no podcasts, no nothing. Only the Word of God. Only God's Word. Did I say only God's Word? I thought so. Amen. I'm gonna try one more thing. Just bear with me right quick. I still want you to see this, so just give me about 1 minute, please. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thanks for your patience. Okay, let's look at Proverbs chapter 4 on my second closing. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And look at verse 5. I want to repeat something there before we get started. I want to repeat something. We said that whenever we are receiving the word, the reception of that word, meaning you and I receiving the word throughout the ear gate, is to always be accompanied with the intent to understand it. So that's key. So after all of your reading and studying and meditating and listening, all of that is to understand the word and then to do it. That's why hearing a sermon one time is really laughable if you think that I'm good. I listen to sermons over and over and over, sometimes for months. Same sermon. And I'm getting new things out of the sermon as you keep hearing it. There's no way. Sometimes you'll hear something on the 16th time of hearing it that, why, I never heard that. But you know you did because you heard the sermon. But it just didn't get in there. It is amazing. You can't hear it one time. You must. That's why you got to meditate. The word of God says meditate day and night. Not even just meditate. It tells us how often. All the time. Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You're to always be speaking the word. Now that doesn't mean that okay, you go do your job, live your life. But whenever an opportunity comes where the word of God is to be spoken, speak the word. You're to meditate day and night. Speak it, meditate it, and then do it. Look at, again, Proverbs chapter 4. We're talking about getting wisdom. I mean, understanding, rather. Get understanding, get understanding. Accept it as the only truth and obey it. Get wisdom, get understanding. Comprehension. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Look at verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. This is a command, not even a suggestion. So if you walk away from the word of God and you don't understand it, you've just set yourself up for Satan to come along and snatch away the word that was sown in your heart. Mark 4. That's what he does. Get understanding. Let's look at understanding in the Hebrew. The word understanding means insight. Insight. It includes a concept of distinguishment that leads to understanding. The concept of distinguishment that leads to understanding, meaning distinguish. That's right, that's wrong. Because you understand. That's right, and that's wrong. That's godly and biblical, and that's ungodly and unbiblical. That's what the word of God does. I understand that. So now when I see something that doesn't line up, I can distinguish that that's not the word of God. Instead of taking it in and let that mess up your mind. So understanding is the concept of distinguishment that leads to understanding. The verb refers to knowledge, which is superior to mere gathering of data. It is not about collecting facts and information. Well, the world will tell you Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It is factual. It's a historical fact. He was buried at such and such a place. He did exist and he walked the streets of Palestine and so forth and Judea and Samaria. Those are facts. But what is that data going to do for you as far as a transforming of your mind? He said, understanding is not just a mere collection or gathering of data. It is necessary to know how to use the knowledge that you do get. So when you do collect the data, for example, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? What does love mean? Well, the question you got to get into. What does it mean when it says in Colossians, husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them in King James? What does the word bitter mean? Bitter means to not be infuriated with them, to be frustrated with them, to the point that you give up on them. I wouldn't know that unless I studied that. So it's not just collecting data, not just gathering information, but it's understanding it so that you can know how to properly use it. Oh, as we were coming home from Word of Faith that day, oh, look, God's love and human love, way two different things. I got to flip over my mind and learn what God's love is. See, I'm getting understanding. Now I can use that information. Use it. What does that mean? You start to act on it in your life so that it can transform your thinking. And in this case, transform our marriage. Our marriage is not by accident. It's on purpose. What God says. You've heard me say this many times. You mix sugar, flour, eggs, butter, you're going to get a cake. And when the cake comes out, you don't say, oh, wow, it's a cake. I can't believe this. He said, what's wrong with you? You mix flour, sugar, eggs, butter, you're going to get a cake. Well, that's saying with a good marriage. You mix love and patience and understanding and obedience to God's word, you're going to come out with a good marriage. He gave the ingredients right there. The question is, are you going to do what God tells you to do? You can't have the cake and you want to do your own thing, like putting substitutes in. Well, white sand looks like sugar. They look the same. You almost can't even tell that they're different. Put your white sand in there, honey. Go right ahead. But don't get mad when it don't come out of cake. Don't get mad when the marriage is not good. Yet you're not obeying what the great cook master said to do. Amen. You're not following the recipe.
Yes, Lord. Yes, sir.
It is truly that simple. You follow the word, you get reward. He said he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Not halfway. Diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. Our marriage is a reward of obeying God. No goodness of our own, but by the grace of God. The word of God is your life. It's your life. It should inform you, show you how to think, shape your philosophy, your ideas, your ideology, your worldview. It is to dominate all of that. It's to be soaked in the word of God. You'll find out a lot of your philosophies and beliefs will change completely. Some things you'll throw out forever and never go back to believing that again because you understand his word. Who says, get wisdom is principal thing. Get the wisdom, gather that information, get the understanding of it. I mean, gather information, that's fine. That's the first part of it because you got to understand something. The something you're going to understand is the information you've gathered. So therefore, get wisdom, he says in verse 7. Get wisdom with all thy getting, however, get understanding. Get insight. Get insight so that you can distinguish between two. One more. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Look at verse 23. Proverbs 23, verse 23.
Proverbs 4.
Talking Bibles get you every time, don't they? Proverbs 23, 23. Amen. Proverbs 23:23. Buy truth, do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Of course, he's using it metaphorically. He says, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Get instruction, but get understanding. get understanding. Psalm 119, 103 says, from your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false word. We said that one. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. You must understand it. We'll stop there. Reviewing again. Getting the word means to accept, consent to agree with, to approve of, to endorse what? The word as being the absolute truth above all else. And you cannot get the word without receiving the word of God. And what's the intent? To learn from it, that you may obey it. That's the key. Not get forgetting sake, but getting so that you can obey, understand that word, obey it, and let it transform your lives. Amen. Father God, I thank you for your word today and the teaching on it. I pray that it becomes transformational. All we've done is just heard the word and maybe to some degree have ingested it, but the real deal behind it comes in the homework that we have for life. Understanding, studying, meditating, and then doing. Help us to do all of that. All of that. Everyone in here who is your child, we've heard it. That's the first step. We've got it. But he said, with all thy getting, get understanding. Understanding can come through studying and meditation. And then we will obey. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.